Welcome back to the Flag Mantle podcast. You are here with your host, Stuart Sterling, and I've got a very, very special guest in the studio. Once again, he somehow keeps finding his way onto this podcast. His name is Chris, and he runs WA Footy Prospects. Chris, how are you doing?
Very good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I am led to believe you've had a very busy morning behind the microphone. Been at Bray and Ethan?
Yeah. Enjoyed that. Yep. Had a very good time with the lads. And yeah. Talked all draft, all WA stuff. And
all the WA boys. And look, we're going to get into more of the whole landscape of the draft itself today, because we're going to be doing a 2024 mock draft. And it's one of my favorite events on the content creation calendar. Absolutely love a good mock draft. And I know you're the same, Chris.
Absolutely, mate.
Absolutely. So we're going to be doing the top 30 because, look, you know, that's about where all the people's knowledge sort of... That's mainstream. The top 30 sort of mainstream. Kal Toomey does his top 30. And so we're all quite familiar with roughly who the top 30 are going to be. I'm really excited to get into it. So without further ado, we played a bit of Warple off air. And Chris won that. He got Billy Frampton, which is today's Warple. Mm-hmm. Which means he got to decide between pick one and pick two. We're just going to alternate picks here. So that leaves you, the Richmond Tigers, on the clock. Wait, does that mean they're on the clock or the pick's in?
That's pick in.
Oh, okay. We'll do that later.
Yeah, we'll do that later.
Yeah.
So with Richmond, this is the start of their... I guess rebuild. They're building for the future. I'll go with someone who maybe is a little bit different to compared to other sort of type of pick ones in the past where they've been more established throughout the year. This one's sort of come a bit later, so I'm going Sam Lawler from the GWV Rebels.
I think that is the correct pick there. I do rank Sam Lawler as my first pick on the board. A few months ago when he was sort of bordering that top five, I really liked just the way his game could develop. And I feel like teams have sort of, I don't want to say seen that too, because they've had better eyes on the kid than I have for many years. But as time has progressed, the sort of more established players have fallen back in the order a bit. Do you know why that is?
No idea. I think it's mainly... It's a mystery to me. Like, but I see like your Jagger Smiths, your Josh Smiley's, going back to like 12 months ago, they were considered like your pick one favourites now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because of potential with Lawler, probably the biggest sort of ceiling compared to the other two, I think. Maybe. That's something Richmond maybe really want to build their team around, someone who's a bit dynamic, who could win the hard ball, but also go up forward as well. So I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So Sam Lawler goes number one to the Richmond Tigers. And that leaves me with North Melbourne on the clock at pick two. And that puts me in a really hard spot. And tried to call Adelaide before the draft. Couldn't get a deal done. Tried to call St Kilda. They didn't want to do a deal. Richmond didn't want to move up. Melbourne didn't want to part ways with both their first this year. So we are stuck on the clock at pick two here, Chris. Mm-hmm. And there's a multitude of options. North Melbourne, they've been heavily linked to the Flying Viking, as they call him, Alex Taru. I think that's probably where they're going to go in draft night. I don't think they're going to stay at pick two. I think they're going to get a bit creative and see where they can go. But it's hard to pass up on the midfielders at the top of the draft. But I think on a needs-based basis, you're not supposed to pick for needs right at the top. But North Melbourne's midfield is something else already. Mm. I think we're going to go Alex Taru here at pick two.
Yes, good pick. I think with North for the past couple of years, especially that top end, they've gone very midfield heavy with Wardlaw, Shazu to an extent. Who else have they taken? I think Colby McKercher. So I think maybe, probably want to beef up sort of their key position stocks. I think Taru fits that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, whether he goes pick two, maybe not. North might try to create something and maybe get him down a little bit down the order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that leaves you on for Chris three. Carlton with pick three. Can I just move this a little bit closer?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
So I think with Carlton, they're in a very fortunate spot with moving up from, I think, what, pick 12 to pick three, where they're now at the top of the draft, where there's abundance of quality midfielders, I think. There must be a reason why they were willing to, like, sort of really move up, because we saw them trade what future picks with like Hawthorn and that deal. So I think they must be looking for someone. I think that someone is Link Finn O'Sullivan. So I'm going to take him at three.
Finn O'Sullivan goes to the Carlton Blues here at pick three. Oh, that's Alex Tarrou. We are doing this whole mock draft on the big computers here at TAFE. So if you hear me clicking with a keyboard, that's exactly what I'm doing. I put the prospects into the list. Now, pick four, the Adelaide Crows. I'm back on the clock. There's a pretty obvious one here, but I want to make the Lions earn their kid. I am going to be putting a bid on who I think is probably the best player in this draft. The most ready-made AFL player is going to be Levi Ashcroft here, and I'm picking him up with pick number four for the Crows, which is going to be matched by, of course, the Brisbane Lions. So, Chris, that leaves me back on the clock once I delete that. Bit of a nightmare here going on on the computer, but there we go. Sorted it out. And that's a pretty easy one here. Sid Draper is going to the Crows with pick number five.
I think, yeah, with Draper, they probably need some X-factor type in their midfield. I think it can be very sort of one-pace vanilla type. I think Draper fits that. Being a South Australia boy, I think that's a bonus. I think it makes sense.
Massive bonus. I think he's the type of midfielder that the Crows are really looking for. Of course, they're going to need to replace the Lairds and the Crouches of the world and the Sloanes. And I think Jagger Smith could be an option here as well for that reason. But I think Sid Draper just has a bit more damage to his game. And I think, you know, the South Australian factor definitely plays a role. But now the Melbourne Demons, you're up with pick number six.
So with Melbourne, they're pretty fortunate having two top 10 picks in this year's draft, trading with Essendon to get that pick 10. But I think with pick six, there's still a good sort of selection of quality midfielders. I think in that frame would be Harvey Langford, Josh Smiley, Murphy Reid. But I think with Melbourne, I think the cliff is approaching. I think they're going to start maybe to not necessarily rebuild, but sort of now sort of go a bit younger, try to regenerate that list, because I think Tassie's looming the next couple of years. I think I'll pick the Lark medalist for this year, Harvey Langford, just to help with that midfield for the future.
Very nice. The Melbourne Demons select Harvey Langford, pick six. And that means the Richmond Tigers are back on the clock. They've just taken Sam Lawler with pick number one, and he's that real forward or center explosive player out of stoppage. I think you need the yin to his yang, and I'm going to be taking someone who slid a little bit here in Jagger Smith to the Richmond Tigers at pick number seven. I think he's in the mold of a bit of a sarong, possibly a bit of a merit, maybe not as good a user by foot, but very clean around stoppages. And I think that's sort of the type you need to let a Sam Lawler explode out of the front. So I think
you don't want to go like sort of one type in whole people. You kind of want like a mix of like players as well. So I think,
I think they complement quite nicely. Yep. And that leaves Chris, you back on the clock for the first of two picks in a row.
So again, I think there's still another good now quality of mids. I think there's a slider, considering we talked earlier about Josh Smiley, so I'm going to take him at pick eight.
Josh Smiley gets to the St. Kilda Saints with pick number eight to help bolster that midfield. He's a bit of a point of difference midfielder, 195 centimeters. He is absolutely massive. He can get front of center as well, kick some goals. He's got a bit aerially as well, so there's a lot to work with Josh Smiley, but athletically, is he as dynamic as some of the others?
Well, I think one of the knocks on Smiley is that he doesn't use his sort of size to his advantage. So I don't think we've seen him sort of go like fly up for marks as much. I think he's more just like ground level type of player. So I think probably doesn't have that sort of speed at the midfield. Probably just a bit of power, but I think he's like an accumulator type of midfielder, like similar to like your Cripps type.
Yeah, nice. And every team needs a big body midfielder, and he's going to be learning from one of the best in Jack Steele over there at St Kilda, the captain. And that puts St Kilda back on the clock. This time it is my turn, and we've just gotten this big, slow, powerful midfielder in Josh Smiley. And I'm going to make a bid here on Leo Lombard from the Gold Coast Suns. Yeah. He's pretty much the antithesis of Josh Smiley. He's small, he's fast, he's nimble. He does everything damaging. I think that's the number one thing with Leo Lombard. I feel like he's going to start his career as a small forward or maybe a high half forward, but eventually he can develop into a very nice center bounce midfielder that can break the game apart, break the line a little bit. And I think he's probably a little bit underrated for mine just because he's an NGA player.
Mm. I think, yeah, that's sort of like being sort of linked to like an NGA Northern Academy club. It kind of puts that sort of incentive on clubs. Do they really want to sort of bid where it should be just because of like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
he's definitely at like a top five purely on talent, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. I've got him ranked as number 8 on my rankings there. But it does put the Saints back on the clock, and there is still someone that I think could complement Josh Smiley quite nicely left on the board. I have them taking Murphy Reid here, elite handball player. I think that's the one thing that stands out about Murphy Reid is he loves his handball. He's so creative in tight, in stoppages, and I think he's not perfect next to Josh Smiley, but there are traits that are very, very different between them. And you can build a midfield around Josh Smiley and Murphy Reid. So I'm pretty happy getting Reid.
And now for Reid.
You're on the clock for Melbourne.
So I think this is the second of their top 10 picks. Mm-hmm. I've gone for the midfield and Harvey Langford. Do I look maybe as like a difference, like a maybe a forward or a back? I think now we're starting to get some of that sort of quality, sort of like tools in that space. So I think maybe, is this a reach for him? I thought maybe this might be his range. So I'm going to go the WA boy, Bo Allen.
Wow. Bo Allen gets to the Melbourne Demons at pick number 11. I think that's about where he should be. I had him ranked a little bit higher than that, actually. I think the Melbourne Demons are going to love Bo Allen for the type of player that he is. They're not afraid to draft out a WA. Mm-hmm. We've seen it. Trent Rivers, Luke Jackson, Cozzy Pickett.
Colton Tolstrup in the past couple of years. Yeah, yes. They've gone Johnny McVay, yeah.
Yep, and Bo Allen, I think, could add to that. He's probably a few years away from playing consistent senior football, but I think with Melbourne's sort of long-term approach, they've still got some guys in there to cover for the next 3-4 years, so I think Bo Allen's a good pick. The Richmond Tigers on for pick 12. They've got two picks back-to-back here. This was one of Fremantle's picks originally, and they've already gotten two midfielders, so you start to think if they go a different route here. And I think they're going to need to bolster their forward half play, especially their key forwards. Yeah. They've got Noah Bolter there. They signed him for a long-term deal. LaFau's just coming back from a serious injury. Yeah. Tom Lynch is very, very close to retirement.
They've lost Freewald in the past 12 months.
So I think this is their opportunity to get someone of a Harry Armstrong ilk, someone that they can build a forward line around. Harry Armstrong has been probably the best key forward in the comp. In the pool this year. So I have Richmond taking him at pick 12.
Yeah. So another back-to-back selection for Richmond here. They've gone with the forward. They've gone with the mids. Mm. Might go with who I consider is probably the next best available in my sort of draft board. And I think I'll go with Toby Trevallier from the Bendigo Pioneers as our sort of like rebounding halfback flanker who could potentially push into the midfield at some stage in his career, I think, yeah.
He's got some Will Day traits about him. Yeah. That's what everyone seems to be saying about Toby Trevallier. So a bit of a project there for the Richmond Tigers. But with the amount of picks they have in the top 30, you can afford to take a bit more of a project with a pick here or there. So I think that's a good pick. Now, that puts West Coast on the board at pick number 14. Now, West Coast fans, they have been very, very vocal about Xavier Lindsay. And I'm going to be selecting him here for the West Coast Eagles at pick 14. He has had a very interrupted season. He hasn't been able to put together a full campaign, Xavier Lindsay, but I think Eagles fans are very aware of the upside. He's sort of bolted into draft contention more into that early teen stages. Just a few months ago, he was just outside the 20s. So Xavier Lindsay is one that clubs are keeping a close eye on, and I think he works well with the mix West Coast have in their midfield already.
Cool. I like that pick. So Port Adelaide... Surprising that they have the first round pick, because normally they've traded away their first round picks in the last couple of years. So I think Isaac Kakko's still on the board, but he's an NGA, so I'm still going to bid on him, I think.
Yeah.
He's a quality small forward, the best in the draft, I would say. And then once Stu figures out the Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, you can just keep going.
Yeah, I'll just keep looking at my board.
Yeah.
I think with Port, they're in a space where the list is basically sort of like complete. I think they've got all the pieces to really push for that premiership. They probably just go best available here. And then I think, how old's Willie Rioli?
I think he's in his late 20s.
Late 20s, maybe early 30s. So probably go with the second best small forward. So I'm going to go with Joe Berry.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts me a lot, Chris. But Port Adelaide, they have selected Joe Berry at pick 16 after targeting another small forward. It's probably an area of concern for the Port Adelaide Power, just their front half play in general. I think you could probably see them going with another tall a little bit later in the draft as well. But that brings me to pick 17 for the Fremantle Dockers. And that puts me in a bit of a spot. I did like Joe Berry. To the Dockers, and there's a few other players still on the board that I think could be really, really impactful players for the Dockers, and one of those, I think the highest rated player left on the board for me is Taj Houghton. He has been injured all year. He's been going through it with his knee, I believe.
Yeah, his ACL.
His ACL. He hasn't played any footy this year, has he?
No, he played first half of the footy. That's where he started to be sort of in that
top five conversation.
Possibly top five, top 10 range, because I think he was playing National Academy game, APS footy for Halbury and Sandy Dragons. I think that's where he started to really find some really good form, but then tore his ACL, I think, in May, so hasn't, obviously played since.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, with Houghton's a good sort of, probably won't impact when he comes in, but I think he'll probably be like a really good player. In the next couple of years or so for Fremantle.
Yeah, and I think he's the type of player that Fremantle need, the forward half creation players. And I think Taj Houghton, highly, highly skilled, would be a bargain at 17. So GWS back on the clock at 18. They've got two picks in a row. Chris, who are you taking for 18?
Job Shanahan.
There you go. The key forward, Job Shanahan. Tell me about him.
So he's from the Bendigo Pioneers Allies region. So I think what sort of put Shanahan on the map is when, in the middle of the year, he played some VFL footy for Essendon. I think kicked a bunch of like goals, and from that, I think that's what made him probably be sort of on par with Harry Armstrong, the best key forwards, pick your poison. So I think probably have gone with the best available left on my board in Shanahan.
Very, very nice. Job Shanahan gets to the GWS Giants at 18. Now, at number 19, I am on the board for the GWS Giants, and this becomes a bit of a difficult decision here. This is where the draft really starts to get interesting, and I think we'll start to see a few reaches here. The GWS Giants, they're pretty stacked for talent across the board, but they've lost a few key players over the trade period, namely Perryman and Cumming, and I think they could look to sort of address that issue. And there has been a few question marks surrounding this guy and his concussions, but I think Luke Traynor would be a good fit for the GWS Giants across their half-back line, just to replace those guys. He's good by foot. He's good overhead. He can lock down his opponent.
He's a great intercept marker as well. So that's one of his main sort of strengths as a player.
So I think Luke Traynor gets to the Giants at 19. That leaves you with the Bulldogs, Chris.
Again, sort of like the Bulldogs are in a space similar to like the likes of Port Adelaide GWS, where they have like a list that can contend for a premiership. I think they're just sort of just maybe replenishing some of those players that they've lost recently, like the likes of Caleb Daniel, Jack McRae, Bailey Smith. So I think I'm going to go with Cooper Hines.
Very nice.
He's a midfielder forward that, yeah, I think probably can help with the Bulldogs. Could they help him next year? But I think probably be a good player for them.
I think they do need another midfielder in that engine room. The only youthful player that you can see being a centre-bounce midfielder in there right now is Riley Sanders.
Yeah.
I think he needs a running mate, and I think Cooper Hines would be a nice little dynamic there for Sanders to play with. That leaves me with Richmond's pick number 21. Now, let's review who they've drafted already, because it's a fair few players. They've gotten Sam Lawler, Jagger Smith, Harry Armstrong, Toby Trevallia, so far. It's a nice mix. You've got your midfield, you've got a forward, you've got a defender.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a nice mix. Part of Richmond that I think will need a bit more beefing up is their small forwards. Mm-hmm. They've got a few there at the moment, but I think they just lack a little bit of quality.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I'm going to be taking Ollie Hannaford.
Oh, okay.
He is the worst kept secret in this draft. Cal Toomey, he said, oh yeah, I asked one club about Ollie Hannaford and they rated him really high but wanted it to keep it a secret. I called another club, they said the same thing. No one can overlook Ollie Hannaford in this draft. I think he's a big bolter and I see him adding nicely to the Richmond front half.
It's a good pick. Sydney, pick 22. So, again, another club with a list that can contend for a premiership, probably adding just like best available in that slot. I think this is where the range would be, a lot of the tall prospects would be. So your likes of Jack and Matt Whitlock, Jonty Fall, Alex Dodson will be in this type of range. Always my opinion about Sydney is that their forward line would lose them a game, which came true on grand final day where your likes of McDonald and Joel Amati had no impact at all. So I'm going to beef up that position. So I'm going to take Jonty Fall.
Jonty Fall to the Sydney Swans. Why? I have a query around some of the key forwards in this draft. Jack Whitlock and Matt Whitlock, would you be concerned to split them across states?
I think there's always been like your connection with sort of like twin siblings, them growing up together, and especially sort of separating them. There's probably an experience for them that probably haven't had before. So I think there always could be concern whether whichever twin you take them out of interstate, whether could they be homesick. So I think there's always talk, like, for example, the King twins. I think Ben's always been like a talking point. It's like, when does he come back to Victoria? I think he's signed on for now, but I think there's always will be that continual link to whether he'll just come back to Victoria or come back to Victoria and play with his brother Max at St Kilda.
Yeah, I think it's beware of what you're drafting them. Yeah, I wouldn't go near them unless you're drafting both of them to the same state. And that's just me personally. I'm not saying it won't work and that they can't, you know, operate without each other, but they were literally answering draft questions from recruiters together. Like, they were in the same meeting doing that, and that just freaked me out as a WA person who sees everyone leave and everyone come. I kinda do it. So that freaks me out from those two, so I'm gonna avoid moving or splitting them up. But Richmond at pick 23 now, they've just taken Ollie Hannaford, the small forward. I think it's time to put a bid on Sam Marshall at this spot. I think this is around where he should be going, and no surprises here. That's going to get matched by the Brisbane Lions. Type in Lions here. That means the Richmond Tigers are back on the clock with now pick 24. And it makes you wonder, what do they need now? But I don't think you can go wrong with adding another key position player. Yeah. And I think this is where Jack Whitlock goes. And I'm pretty confident taking him here after just having that rant about the Whitlock twins.
Yeah, about separating them.
About separating them. But I don't think Matt is going to be going outside of Victoria. I think you look at the teams around these picks. Richmond are coming up. The Bulldogs are coming up. They probably don't need a toll. But after that, it's St Kilda, Hawthorn. I think they could end up both in Victoria. But Jack Whitlock, the key forward of them both. Matt's the key back.
Yeah.
And I think if you pair him up with someone like a Harry Armstrong, they're very different players.
Yeah.
Jack Whitlock's sort of the tall, contested.
Yeah, the one that probably would be your traditional 4-4, yeah. While Harry tends to like sort of come up the ground and then go back inside the forward 50. So I think, yeah, they can complement each other.
A bit of Mekhi Kurnow about that, like that pairing. But that leaves GWS with pick 25.
I'm going with Jesse Dottoli.
Nice.
This small forward from Vic Metro. I think Toby Green is aging a bit. I feel like they probably need to start thinking about a traditional replacement for a genuine goal snake of a player. So I think I like Dottoli.
Dottoli goes to GWS at 25. The Sydney Swans here have pick 26. And I think this is where the draft starts to look a little bit different. I think the first 25 are probably the best 25 players, and then there could be a little bit of a drop here. Sydney, though, look, I'm honestly not really sure where they go with this pick, but I'm going to be taking Harrison Oliver here for the Sydney Swans. He's a defender.
Yeah.
So I think they need to beef up that part of their ground. If there's no key position defenders available at this sort of spot, I think they just go for best available in that position, and I think that's Harrison Oliver.
Yep. Richmond, pick 27. So, a couple minutes ago, you just ranted about separating the twins in the Whitlock. So, Matt Whitlock, you are joining your brother at Richmond.
Do I even have him on my big board? I do. He's here.
Yep.
Matt Whitlock goes to Richmond at 27. I'm glad you did that, because I was going to do that with 28.
Yeah,
if you
regardless,
didn't, so.
Like, they got back-to-back picks.
Yeah, exactly. And that leaves Richmond back on the clock. And we've drafted really tall forward and back for the Tigers. We've drafted two midfielders and one sort of halfback flanker thing. I think we need a tough-nosed midfielder that's willing to do all the dirty stuff so that Jagger Smith and Sam Lehler can have all the sunshine. I'm going to be picking Christian Moraes here. He's a very hard-running midfielder, can play a bit on the inside, a bit on the outside. I think he'd be a fantastic pairing to the picks they already have. And that leaves you with the Dogs at 29.
Dogs, who did I take? Cooper Hines, I think maybe. We can continue to sort of maybe beef up that midfield. Probably maybe now go for someone like a more of an accumulator type of midfielder. Not necessarily one that wins the hub or like your Riley Sanders and Bontempelli. So I'm going to go with Tommy Gross.
Nice, Tom Gross. I was lining him up for the Eagles at the next pick after that. Fantastic player for the Dogs, I reckon. Would mix nicely into what they have there. The West Coast Eagles come in with their second pick at number 30. And I think this is where we can start to see the WA clubs pull in the WA talent. I'm going to go for Hamish Davis here at pick number 30. Bit of a project player for the Eagles, but he's a tall prospect who has a very high endurance base. And from all reports, everything I've heard from him, he's got a high footy IQ. And I think he's a bit of a jack of all trades. He's about 190, so you can play him anywhere. He sort of fits into the Jinbi Hewitt body type mold. And I think he fits very nicely into what the Eagles are doing there.
Probably replace sort of like a Jamie Cripps, like start off as like a not necessarily small forward, but more like your
like a Banfield sort of role.
Yeah, sort of like a medium type of forward.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's our 30 pick mock draft for 2024. How do you feel about that after the fact, looking at it? Does anything seem off? Does anything seem how well do you think this is going to be close to the real thing?
It's so difficult for this year just because of the amount of like depth in this draft, and then like some players might be higher on some clubs' boards might be a bit lower, so that's where that range really opens up. So, and especially a lot of teams have like multiple picks, so like it really opens up like what the draft really. So I feel like this is going to be so, so hard to predict. Mm. So I'm very looking forward to seeing Cal Toomey's Phantom draft when he releases it, maybe next week, to see where he places them, because I think he's got good insight of like where they go. I think your top five, top six may be set with those players in your likes of Lawler, Tarou, O'Sullivan, Draper, and Langford. And that's when these players like Murphy, Reed, Bo Allen, Xavier Lindsay, they could be in that top 10, but also they could be just like around that 15 mark. So yeah, really, it's going to be so hard, but also very interesting to see what happens.
Now, we are a Fremantle podcast here at the Flagmantle podcast. Fremantle, in this scenario, end up with pick 17. And we did flag Joe Berry and Taj Houghton as two of the players to be looking at. Are those the types that Fremantle could be interested in?
Yeah, probably your forward half type of players, I would think, would definitely be a priority on Fremantle's board. I think, my opinion, I would really like Berry much because he's got a high footy IQ, kick skulls, whereas Houghton's more like your hybrid type of play. May not be like a pure small forward. That's where he will start off his career with. But I think with Houghton, there will be question marks on sort of his ACL because there's always the buyer beware, but also him being a Vic Metro prospect, whilst compared to Berry being a Vic Country prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sort of go home factor weigh into the decision if both of them are still on the board?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question to ask. Fremantle, though, I think our top five in the best and fairest this year were all Victorians. I don't think a single one of them was a WA person. So I think they've been able to crack the code. They know what to look for when they look for people heading back home. And I think they've figured it out by now. For me, I think Joe Berry's the guy. But I think Taj Houghton as well has a lot of upside. I wouldn't be surprised if a Dettoli or a Hannaford came into conversations.
Or maybe like someone like Murphy Reed if he managed to slide all the way there, because all reports could be that one slider in the draft. So yeah.
Now, I have heard that Fremantle have also looked to trade up their pick, I think 14 and 30. Mm. They have looked to trade it up the board and potentially move into next year's draft as well. They are still exploring options. If Fremantle were to trade up into this draft, where do you think they should aim for and who do you think they should target?
It's kind of hard because I think there's a lot of teams with multiple picks. So it's really for the clubs on the other end, how far do they want to slide down? Like, if there's a player within the range that they have originally, could they go back four or five spots? So I think it's an early indication so far post the trade period that it's only been one sort of pick swap in that sort of space.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really late sort of swap between Brisbane and Collingwood. So I don't think there's really going to be maybe too many like sort of pick swaps. I think the only one to really watch out for is North Melbourne's pick two.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the one to watch. But I think, yeah, with Fremantle, I find it pretty hard trying to move up within this draft.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite difficult to move. But I think they're in a pretty good spot where they're sort of in the landing zone for someone to slip through.
Yeah.
I think Fremantle, Port Adelaide and GWS, whoever slips through, one of those clubs are going to snap them up. And in this case, it was Joe Berry managed to get there and Taj Houghton managed to get there. But yeah, I'm going to be posting this full draft on the Instagram. Where can I find you on Instagram, Chris?
The handle is at WA Footy Prospects. In, I think, Tuesday, I'll post my own sort of top 25, top 30 mock draft. So I think, yeah, watch out for that.
Okay, well, watch out for Chris's socials. You know where to find them now. Thank you very much for coming, Chris. And it's been an absolute honor having you on the podcast.
Thanks, Stu. Really appreciate it.
No worries at all. But we're going to get out of here. We're going to move on and do other things with our day. So, see ya. Speaking of all time, Brayshaw, what a guy. How good is he? If you're David Bundy, you can do anything. Brayshaw. Oh, he goose-stepped beautifully. And a couple. Herky-jerky, shake and bake. Magnificent. Thank you.
you for listening to the Flag Mantle podcast. If you have made it this far, please leave us a review on whatever streaming site you use to access the Flag Mantle podcast. And don't forget, we've got social media too, over at the Flag Mantle podcast on Instagram and X. So go follow us there, send us a cheeky DM, and you might get a response. We'll see. Thank you for listening once again, and I'll see you all next time.